The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
Someone's knocking at the door.
Hallelujah. This morning, we are looking at what we've titled, Stretch Out Your Hand. Stretch out your hand. And I want you to help me communicate this to your neighbor and say, neighbor, stretch out your hand. Stretch out your hand. Matthew 12, from verse 9 to 14, says, then Jesus went over to the synagogue where he noticed a man with a deformed hand. In the name of Jesus, God will notice you. Heaven will pay attention to you in the mighty name of Jesus. You know, there were a lot of people there. Jesus got into, I noticed, I mean, listen, the truth is that sometimes you may feel that God has forgotten you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, God will notice you, and not just notice you, we come to your aid, as we can see here. It says, then the Pharisees, rather, asked Jesus. So, it's amazing. Jesus came into the synagogue. He noticed the man whose hand was withered. And Jesus hadn't done anything. He just noticed it. And the Pharisees have gone ahead of Jesus. Now, the truth is that when God notices you, you may not even have known that God has noticed you, but the Pharisees can tell that God has noticed you. You may not have realized that God has noticed you, but the adversary and your Pharisees can tell that God has noticed you. And guess what? They will try to intercept that intervention, but they will fail in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So the Pharisees, before the man himself, you know, got involved, the Pharisees intercepted it. They intercepted the situation. And the Pharisees asked Jesus, does the law permit a person to walk by healing on the Sabbath? In other words, they looked at the situation. They saw that Jesus he has this habit of doing good. Everywhere he went, he was doing good. The mighty healer. He healed the leper. When the cripple saw him, they started walking. So they saw Jesus. They say, it is your way, that your way to the heal, this Jesus. Before you know it, you will be healing this man. But before you try it, is it lawful? How can you be in a place that you are so bogged down with, is this lawful? Is that unlawful? Is this? And you are not even realizing what God is thinking, what God is saying. So they said, is it lawful for a person to walk by healing? You know, they didn't just say to heal, but to walk by healing. They letting Jesus know that if you heal, it is walking, you know. On the Sabbath, they were hoping he would say yes, so they could bring charges. If you have a Bible, underline charges. So they could bring charges to him. And Jesus answered, if you had a sheep that fell into a well on the Sabbath, wouldn't you pull it out? He says, of course you would. And how much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Jesus asking, how much more valuable is a person than a sheep? If you had a sheep, you would have rescued the sheep. And it gets interesting. Yes, the law permits a person to do good on the Sabbath. So based on this, yes, the Lord permits a person to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand, hold out your hand. So the man held out his hand and it was restored just like the other. Then the Pharisees called a meeting to plot how they would kill Jesus. A couple of things jump out at us from this passage of scripture. Three things that stand out to us from this passage of scripture. We're going to look at three things that pop out and we will be done. Are you ready? The first is this. In your journey to restoration, as God journeys you to restoration, embrace compassion. Embrace compassion. It is very easy for people to be legalistic. It is very easy for people that God has helped to forget the help that God has shown them and become so legalistic, even in relating with other people that God wants to help. You know, for instance, I mean, you have had leaders in the past that when she started coming to church, this particular leader, when she started coming to church, I mean, she was, I can't even tell you the things that were revealing because it's censored. But God helped this person. The person became a leader in church, transformed. Then this person will call me up so angry on the phone. Oh, pastor, why would we allow this kind of person to come to church? I'm like, which kind of person? See, can't you see how she was dressed? I'm like, I'm sorry, I didn't see it. So, but she was sitting at such a role. She was sitting there and she was dressed like this. I'm like, I didn't see it. So what's the issue? The issue is that how can we be allowing such a person to be coming to church? And I said to her, I said, you've forgotten where you were. You've forgotten how you looked when you first came. She was like, how was I? I was like, that's the question. Many times, God has helped us. God has graced us. But we are so impatient with other people that God wants to help. Rather than understanding that the same grace that helped us will help them, we judge them sometimes. And God is saying, embrace compassion. Be slow to judge that man. Be slow to judge that brother. Be slow to judge that woman. Be slow. Be slow to become a Pharisee. Verse 10 of Matthew 12, it says, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? So that they may accuse him. And even though the Bible did not say it, the man was there. So if I were to complete that, I would say, so they accused him and the man was hearing. Imagine, you are there. Jesus has come. Finally, your miracle has come. And people are like questioning Jesus, are you really going to heal this guy on the Sabbath? But the guy was there. How did the guy feel? Many times, legalistic people don't care. They don't care how people feel. The man could hear them. I mean, it's sometimes very funny, you know, the situation that people find themselves in. The man could hear them, but they didn't care. Meanwhile, Luke 6:36 says to us, be merciful as your Father is merciful. So how does God expect you and I to be merciful? Just like how God is merciful. How is God merciful? Think about the mercy of God. Think about your life. Think about his mercies. How does your own mercy compare? He's saying to you and I, be merciful just like he is merciful. Matthew 12:11. Interesting. It says, he said to them, which of you who has a sheep, if it falls into the pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Now, Jesus is saying, if you can have mercy, show mercy to a sheep, how much more this man of great value? This is what's going on here. So Jesus is not even saying to them, which of you that has a child that falls into the pit will not rescue him? Of course they will rescue their child. But what Jesus was saying to them is that even your sheep that is not as valuable as this child, who is a child of God. So like for like would have been Jesus asking, this man is a child of God. Which of you will not rescue his own child? So if you could rescue your child, why won't God rescue his child? I mean, that would have been like for like comparison, correct? But Jesus said, even though this is God's child, I'm not going to ask you if this was your child. I'm going to ask you if this was your sheep. If this was your sheep, would you not have rescued the sheep? Now, this is the child. This is your sheep. You would have rescued the sheep. So, why do you have a problem with God rescuing his child? When compassion goes out of the door, people become monsters. Unfortunately, people become monsters when compassion goes out of the door. Now, looking at it, it is unimaginable. If we were comparing their child to God's child, of course, their sheep, they will even rescue their sheep. Because none of them said to Jesus, no, we will not have rescued our sheep. Because if they would not have, they would have challenged Jesus. They would have told him, we won't do it. But they kept quiet because they knew that they would have done it. So Jesus was saying, you can rescue your sheep, but you are querying me for rescuing my child. Whew. Many times, we don't see as God sees. When we see as God sees, we embrace compassion. Colossians 3:2 says to us, put on then as God's chosen one, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. God wants us to wear a compassionate heart. Kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. So inadvertently, the level of mercy you receive is based on the level of mercy you give. The level of mercy you receive is based on the level of mercy you give. The level of mercy you receive is based on the level of mercy you give. Absolutely. So the first thing is embrace compassion. Now, the second thing here is challenge the norms. Challenge the norms. As we journey into restoration, God expects us to challenge the norms. Challenge the norm. Jesus challenged the norm. Before the man's hands could be restored, the norm of healing on Sabbath or not was challenged. Jesus challenged, just said to them, it is right to do good on the Sabbath. So if this is doing good, then I'm in order. So challenging the norm is required in your business, in your career, in your professional life. You need to learn to challenge the norms. You need to learn to break barriers. You see, I'm not talking about just being cantankerous. I'm not talking about just being a rebel for nothing. You know, some people, they just want to rebel because they can rebel. Oh, I'm my own man. You know, when you hear people say, I'm my own man, and I'm just rebelling because I just want to prove that I'm my own man, that's a problem. That's not what we are talking about. You never find that in the Word of God. You know, that's someone that has a problem, a big ego problem. So what I'm saying is that don't be a rebel without a cause. There are some people, they are rebels without a cause. You just want to rebel. Jesus is saying to you and I, verse 12, of how much value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on a Sabbath. So Jesus was saying, there is value in my challenging the norm. I am doing it because of value. So God is saying to you and I, on your journey to restoration, you will have to challenge status quo for you to deliver the value that God has in mind for you, or for that value to be delivered to you in the name of Jesus, and it will be in Jesus' name. There's a story in Numbers 27, 1 to 11, that's your Sunday scripture to take home to read while you are having your lunch and reading this passage of scripture. It's a fantastic story. You should read it. You can even read it with your children, particularly if you have daughters, you can read it with them. It's the story of the daughters of Zelophehad. Now, this was the law of the land. It was the law of the land that women at the time do not have access to inheritance. Women do not have inheritance. So it was the law of the land. Now, this man, Zelophehad, had 5 daughters, if I'm not mistaken, and 5 of them had an issue with the norm after their father passed. So they went to Moses, they went to the elders, and they said, look, our father doesn't have a son. It is not right for his inheritance, his name to just die, for his inheritance to pass to another. And you could imagine that the elders could just easily dismiss them and said to them, it's the law. It's the law. But when Moses heard, Moses said, wait, let me ask the Lord. Let me inquire of the Lord. And when Moses asked the Lord said to Moses, the daughters of Zelophehad were correct. So the Lord said, these ladies are correct. Change the law. I'm praying in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that the law will be changed for you. The law will be changed in your favor in the name of Jesus. You have to step up and challenge the norm. Now, I'm not saying cause trouble. I'm not saying be rebellious. If you read that story, which is why I said you should go and read it. They were not rebellious. They were respectful. The same way Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to Nebuchadnezzar, live forever, O Lord, Rankadede, O King. They said to him, they actually said to him, Rankadede. They said, but on this matter, we will not obey you because we would rather obey the living God than to obey you because you are a man and you are just a king. They challenged the norm. Challenging the norm, you have to do it respectfully, you have to do it understanding authority, but not succumbing to injustice. So that is huge on your path to restoration. Challenge the norm. In Acts 10, 34 to 35, Acts 10, 34 to 35, it says, truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. So we see, God doesn't show partiality. God doesn't show partiality. Long time ago, I had a situation with a friend of mine in some big denominational church. And I'm trying to mask the story now. So he had to take his decision. And when he took the decision, the old church, the elders of the church said to him that, they wrote him a letter that, look, the church does not support this action, you know, and all, you know, very legalistic response. So he was in my house and he was confused and he was like, oh, what do I do? I said, they asked for a meeting. So I said, when you get to the meeting, ask them one by one. If it was your son that this thing happened to, what would you do? He said, when he came back, he was so happy. He was like, I asked them, sir, if it was your son. He says, as soon as they mentioned it, the old man said, I reject it in Jesus' name. So it will never be my son. All the elders, they rejected it. They didn't want to ask. They didn't want it. You see, when you take a matter and you use it to touch your body, then you will be able to talk with sense. When it is distant to you, you can begin to say, this is what the doctrine of the church is. This is what, when it touches you, you will understand. So he said, I mean, this is years ago. I mean, I think even over a decade ago. And he said, the elders could not answer that question because obviously they were also men of integrity because they know that if they answered it unjustly, God will judge them. So the elders, they couldn't answer it. They couldn't. You have to challenge the norm. You have to challenge the norm. Praise the name of the Lord. Romans 12 verse 2 talks about not conforming to this world, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. The transformation can only come through confrontation. Through confrontation. So you need to question and reevaluate societal norms when they hinder restorative growth. You need to question. So the third thing on your journey to restoration from today's lesson, from today's scripture that we're going to look at is, number one, the first is to what? Is to embrace compassion. The second is to challenge the norms. And the third is to obey immediately. Obey immediately. This is so big. Verse 13 says, then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And the man stretched it out, and it was restored like the other. Stretch out your hand. I'm saying to you today, stretch out your hand in the name of Jesus. Stretch out your hand. Everything that has been withered, that is without life, we command God's life to go into it, and we command it stretched out in the name of Jesus. Stretch out your hand. Stretch it out. And the man stretched it out. And this is so powerful. He says that, and the man stretched it out. Jesus said, stretch out your hand. The man could have said, Jesus, the Pharisees are still around. Oh, Jesus, I don't want, they may take us to prison. I mean, think about it. We give excuses to God. God is giving you an instruction. Take that step. And you're like, my accusers are still here, Lord. Oh, the people that will condemn me are still here, Lord. Oh, what would people say? Oh, what will I look like? Look, God is saying, take this step. Stretch forth your hand. Hallelujah. Amen. Stretch forth your hand. Stretch it out. Stretch it out. Stretch it out in the name of Jesus. And it says, and the man stretched it out. Now, this is so, so powerful. Jesus said, stretch out your hand. The man himself stretched it out. I'm sure the hand, they have life that withered, right? So the man, number one, his will, he must have decided. The way, if I say lift your hand, let's lift up our hands to God and worship. Do you know that it's not everybody that obeys? When we say, let's clap your hands, oh ye people, it's not everybody that claps to God. Do you know that? When we say, oh, lift up your voices and shout with the voice of triumph, you know it's not everybody that shouts to God. So people, they have voice. Nothing is wrong with their voice. Their voices have not withered, but they will choose to not, because they are cool. They are cool like that, okay? And Jesus said to the man, stretch out your hand. And the man stretched it out. How possible is that? It's because the words that came out from the mouth of Jesus had authority. And because the word had authority, I'm sure before now the man has been trying, must have tried, he must have tried to lift his hand, but he didn't. But the authority of heaven backed up that action. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, things you have been doing that you have been unable to do, the authority of heaven will back up your actions in the name of Jesus. And the places where you have been restricted, when you have been hindered, when you have experienced withering, you begin to stretch out in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It's so powerful. The man himself. Now, it was the man that stretched out his hands, not Jesus. Jesus did not say, stretch out your hand. Then he now used rope to pull the guys out. No, no. There are things that God will not do for you. There are things you have to do for yourself. Like stretch out the hand. No one is going to do it for you. You have to do it for yourself. Stretch out the hand means stretch out the hand. Obey immediately. Disregard the Pharisees. Disregard the naysayers. And stretch out the hand. Why? Because the word has gone forth. And authority must back it up. And the authority of God is here backing you up in the name of Jesus. Stretch out that hand. Stretch it out. And as you stretch it out, it will be restored in the name of Jesus. And it will be healthy in the name of Jesus. Oof, so powerful. So powerful. Mark chapter 5 verse 34. Mark 5 34 says, and he said to her. Now this was a case of the woman with the issue of blood. She has said in her heart, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Right? That was what she said. And she moved and moved and touched, boom, and she was made whole. And Jesus said, who touched me? And the lady came out. I said, I did. And Jesus said, daughter, now listen to this. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of disease. Now, yeah, I mean, the issue of blood has stopped already. Now, so this is Jesus saying to her, it is your faith that made you well. So, what are we saying here? Jesus was a constant in the equation. God is a constant in the equation of life. God is around you. God is in God's favorite house. God is present with us. It is your faith that will make you whole. It is how you activate and connect to God that determines your wholeness. That's what determines your wholeness. Your faith has made you whole. That's what determines your wholeness. So Jesus was saying to the woman, I was present here. I'm present here with everybody else. So everybody else could have been healed. But only you got healed. So I'm a constant. God is a constant. Your faith is the variable. So if your faith is zero, nothing happens. If your faith is activated, something happens. So what that means is this. Like the case of the man, Jesus said, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched it out. He obeyed. The woman with the issue of blood thought, if I can touch the hem of his garment. And she obeyed. And she acted. Many times you are saying, oh, I need Jesus to come and tell me what to do. But many times Jesus has given you the initiative of what to do. So the woman took initiative. God has already spoken to you. What are you waiting for? Get moving. Get moving. God wants you to be restored. But you have to touch the hem of his garment. That initiative that God has put in your mind, you have to do it. What if the woman said, I can't even, how is it even possible? There are so many people here. And I have this issue of blood. I shouldn't even be around these people. If I touch them, they know it can be a problem. You know, Jews can be very, you know, legalistic like that. But Jesus said, the word of God says, she pushed through the crowd. She touched them. He moved them out of the way. Many people, God has given you an initiative. But you are giving excuses. Oh, there are people on the way. Oh, if they find out, oh, I will be in trouble. Oh, listen. You need to push them out of the way and get your miracle. You need to stretch and touch Jesus by faith. By faith. Everyone say by faith. By faith. It is so powerful. It's so powerful. So this woman got healed. And that's why Peter, trying to rebuke Jesus, when Jesus said that, someone touched me. Peter said, God, we all have been here together. We have been touching you, rubbing shoulder together. Nothing has been happening. What do you mean someone touched you? Look at all this crowd. Everybody has been tugging on you. You know, everybody. Jesus says, virtue. Virtue left me. So it means that if you come to Jesus for selfie, you get selfie. If all you came to Jesus for was to take selfie, it's selfie you will get. If all you come to Jesus for was just to stand beside him so that when the camera is showing, they will know that it's you and Jesus, right? That's all you will get. But if you came to Jesus and you mean business, and you mean business, the interpretation of that tongue is you will be fully restored. In the name of Jesus. You'll be fully restored. You'll be fully restored. So we see that in Hebrews 11, verse 1, Hebrews 11, 1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Not seen. Because faith by itself, according to James 2:17, is dead if no work is added to it. Faith without works is dead. So actionable steps are indispensable in the journey to restoration. Actionable steps are indispensable in the journey to restoration. Now, as we wrap things up, we need to realize that the Pharisees don't joke. The Pharisees don't joke. But in spite of the Pharisees, God will restore you. In spite of the Sambalas and the Tobias, God will rebuild you. In the name of Jesus. The Pharisees don't joke. He says, then the Pharisees called a meeting. Now, I told you to underline something earlier on, and that is the fact that they were hoping when they asked him, they were hoping that what? He would say yes so that they could bring charges against him, to charge him to court, right? That was the initial thought. Okay, this guy, we will try and set him up with this so we can charge him, have an allegation against him. Correct? Now, but by the time Jesus looked at them, mesmerized them, healed the man in spite of them, and the man was restored. Verse 14, then the Pharisees called a meeting and to plot how to kill him. Now, it has graduated from, they just want to charge him to court. Now they want to kill him. They said, this Jesus, he just embarrassed us in front of everybody. We kill him. Listen, listen, the Pharisees don't joke. But God, the resurrection power will prevail on your case in the name of Jesus. The resurrection power of God will prevail. So he graduated from charging to court to killing. Regardless, God's counsel of full restoration is your portion. So as you journey to restoration this year, number one, you must embrace what? Compassion. Number two, you must challenge the norms. And number three, after challenging the norms, you must obey immediately. You must obey immediately. So I want to pray with you if you're here. Like, Pastor, pray with me. I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I want to obey immediately. Your own immediate obedience is to, boom, surrender your life to Jesus and give your life to Jesus. Or you're like, Pastor, I used to be born again. I used to be with Jesus. Can I come back? Can you pray with me? Yes, we want to pray with you. We want to pray with you this morning. RP takes it away.
Heavenly Father, we are just so grateful. We thank you for all your children that have yielded to you, that have decided to follow you this morning, physically here and even those online. If you're online and you've raised your hand, just drop a note in the comment section of the platform where you are, and the online pastors will reach out to you. Father, we thank you once again, Lord, for everyone that has yielded to you this morning, that we have made a decision to follow you. We ask in the mighty name of Jesus that you accept us. Lay your mighty hands upon us. From today on, Lord, we commit and submit our lives to you. Help us as we begin to walk with you. Strengthen us. Give us direction. Increase our faith in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. Everything that has held us back before now, mighty God, let the powers be broken in the mighty name of Jesus. As we stretch forth our hands to you this morning, receive us. You say in your word, no one comes to the Father except the Father draws him near. Draw us near to you and let your name be glorified. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.